I'm Ricky's mother. And we are very proud of him and Chelsea, the work they're doing here. It's so good to see your kids fulfilling the plan of God. Amen. Amen. Oops. I might need them later. They keep falling out. I keep saying I'm going to take this and have it rebound, but I'm using it too much to let it go. Hallelujah. We'll pray and get into the word. Father, we thank you for your abundance in our lives. We thank you for all the promises of God are yes and amen. And we thank you this morning as we learn what you've provided for us, we will be able to walk in it, because we don't want to be just hearers of the word. We want to be hearers and doers of the word. So once we get light on a subject, once we get light on something, we make it a plan, we make it a purpose in our life to follow through with that word and have it operating in our life. We realize that you've left everything for us here. You've freely given us health, peace, prosperity, deliverance. And so, Father, we want to walk in it just as much as you want us to. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're going to be talking about the blessing this morning.
Amen.
How many of you know that God didn't leave us here without any hope?
That's right.
Amen. When he sent Jesus to the cross, he was providing everything we would need for our earthly life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if you would turn to Galatians 3, we'll start reading in verse 11. We'll read 11, 12, 13, and 14. It says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham," now he hung on the tree so that, right? Everybody say, so that. Christ hung on the tree so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Yeah.
Now notice, he didn't give us the blessing that belonged to Abraham. He gave us a blessing like Abraham.
Yes.
Have you ever read anything about Abraham?
Yes, ma'am.
He was what?
Rich.
Rich. More rich. Gold, silver, not just one area of his life.
No.
Gold, silver, servants, land, cattle, goats, whatever was a product of financial influence in that day, he had it in abundance. Amen. Why did he have it like that? Because he obeyed God. He did what God asked him to do. Did he do it all in one day or at one time?
No.
But once he heard a word from God, he started acting on it. Amen? Do you know it's just that easy for us?
Yes, ma'am.
Once we hear a word from God, if we start acting on it, we can also have all the blessings of God. The word says the just shall live by faith. Not the just shall struggle. Not the just shall only survive, barely survive. No, what that word live, shall live, means more than enough. I mean, if you're just getting by, if you're struggling every day of your life, do you know that's not really living the God kind of life?
Amen.
If we're having to fight the devil every single day just to get up out of bed, that's not living the life he's provided for us.
Amen.
So we don't want to live just getting by. We don't want to live just barely making it from paycheck to paycheck. Now, how many of you have done that?
Yes, ma'am.
We've done that. And I tell you what, it's much better being on the other side.
Amen.
Some people say, well, you're just God's favorite, or you just... No. You know, he created every one of us equal.
Yes, ma'am.
To get to the place where he called us to.
Yes.
Some of us, a lot of us started at different places. Now, when I was young, I was raised in Southeast Texas, and the house we lived in had 3 bedrooms, 8 kids. Of course, by the time I was born, the first 2 were already 17, 18. So I think my oldest sister got married when I was 2 years old, so I don't really remember her ever living at the house. And then right after that, 2 of my brothers went to the Army, so I remember a little bit of them being there, but not a lot. But we was stacked in that house like cordwood. We did not have an inside toilet until I was probably 12. We had an outhouse, which was out in the back, far enough away you couldn't smell it. So before it gets dark, you take care of business. Because we didn't have a light string or nothing going out to it. And you did not want to go out. We lived 10 miles out of town in the woods, nobody around us. And there was all kind of stuff out in the woods at night. There was wild hogs and coyotes and stuff, and you could hear it in the bedroom. So you did not want to go to the bathroom. So we didn't have running water inside our house. We did have a well, but it wasn't in our house. So we would carry a wash pan in the kitchen to do dishes and stuff. And we had, how many of you know what a number 3 wash tub is? It's a tub about this big around, and it's aluminum, isn't it?
Yeah.
Aluminum, galvanized. So in the morning, we would fill it up with water and let it set out in the sun all day. And then in the evening, we would take a bath in it according to our age. So I was number 7. And I think it's so hilarious now, you know, we didn't think nothing about it then. It wasn't no big deal. Right after our oldest daughter, Mandy, got married, she went to Colorado with her mother and father-in-law and her husband at that time and his brother and wife. And they went and stayed up in a cabin way up in the mountains where they didn't have a running water or anything. And they had to do the same thing at that cabin. And she come home telling me, I did not take a bath all week. She said, I just took a rag and washed off every day because I was not getting in that water after everybody else. And I thought, you don't even know what it was like to live in the day we were raised in. But things like that, when you're growing up, things like that have an influence on how we think and what we expect. You know, if that's all you had growing up, and we always had plenty to eat. My daddy was a hunter. My brothers was hunters. We always had deer or hog or squirrels, or we always grew chickens, and we always had a big garden. So we always had plenty to eat. We never lacked there. But we did have to wear clothes after whoever outgrew them, and and shoes, whoever outgrew them, you know, stuff like that. So we didn't come to expect a lot in my grown-up life. Because we were happy, you know. We didn't sit around and cry all the time because we didn't have a lot of money. We made do. We had fun. Us kids was always playing, having fun. So I got used to thinking that that was good enough.
Yes, ma'am.
That y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
The highest way of living is to live by faith. Amen. Really living. The life of faith was God's idea. So that is the highest manner of living. Not living by fighting for positions. Not living by situations. How many of you know that a situation sometimes will cause you to think different than what you believe?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, we can come to the realization that God wants us to prosper. He wants to bless us. He wants to do for us. And we can be saying that and quoting that. And then you go into your job and they give you a pink slip and say, you know, we don't need you no more. And that particular situation will cause us to start thinking and acting different. As long as everything's going good, as long as everything's took care of and provided for, we're good. We're living by faith. But the minute we get that pink slip, what do we do? Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Oh, Lord, I got bills to pay. My house payment's due next week. What am I going to do? What just happened? My situation caused me to start thinking different. And what motivates that? Fear. Fear motivates that. We can't live by our flesh. When you live by your flesh, you're not living by the Spirit. You cannot have a productive life by jumping in and out of faith.
Amen.
Have you ever seen a graph like the stock market or something, you know, it's up here one day and down here one day and up here one day and down, you know. That's what a life of faithlessness looks like.
Yes, ma'am.
And we can say, you know, I'm living in faith. I'm believing God. But the minute we start saying, oh, no, what am I going to do?
Yes, ma'am.
That shows us where we are.
Yes, ma'am.
We're not really living by faith if those thoughts and those words come out of our mouth.
Amen.
We're living from situation to situation.
Yes, ma'am.
But if we get that pink slip and we say, thank you, Lord. You provided this job for me for all these years. I know you got a better one for me.
Amen.
I don't immediately start calling the prayer chain, getting everybody praying for this company to take me back or for somebody else's job or position. Amen? If I'm in faith, the minute I hear you're fired, my thoughts don't go to, oh, no. They go to, praise the Lord. All things work together for good to them that love God and those who are called according to His promises. That is the thing, when I'm living by faith, that is the thing that would be coming out of my mouth.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever watched one of those army shows on TV, and you see these guys, they got all these little army men set up on this table, and they're planning their attack on the opposite thing. And then they go attack, and then what happens? These guys over here, they have to go in a room and get all their little army men set up on the table to figure out what they're going to do to counterattack. It's they're back and forth, back and forth, losing ground and gaining ground, losing ground and gaining ground. That is not the life of faith.
Amen.
The life of faith is an easy, even kilter, but it should gradually go up. Amen. You know why God doesn't give anybody $1 million overnight? Usually they don't have the wisdom on how to use it. Amen?
Amen.
I hear stories all the time about people. Have you ever watched any of those lottery stories about how they won the lottery?
Yes, ma'am.
5 or 6 million. 2 years later, they ain't got a penny, ain't got a house.
Yes, ma'am.
What happens? They get the money, but they don't have the wisdom on how to use it.
Yes.
You know, money is a tool.
Yes, ma'am.
Money is a tool. When we start looking at it like it's something, woo, money, woohoo, it's just like a hammer.
Yes, ma'am. Amen.
If you need a hammer and it's there,
yes,
it's good.
Yes,
if you need money and it's there, it's good.
Yes, ma'am.
But you don't have to be crying and begging and pleading for money to come.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. If it's, you know what, the best thing we can do is learn how to operate on what we have.
Yes.
Operate on what we have. Because once you start, like credit cards, you know, some people use them, they benefit them wonderfully. We, you know, I didn't know how to use them at first. So I would, when we started getting credit cards, you know, I had a bunch of kids and we would go charge whatever the kids wanted, and then we got to pay them off. And then one day I got to looking at the interest on them things, and I was like, what? Never really paid any attention to it before. And I was like, are you kidding me? Half of my payment is not even going toward what I bought. It's just interest that the credit card company, that's money that they're making off of me because I didn't have the wisdom to use that credit card. Well, as I've got older, I have got wiser. Now the credit cards work for me. We have a Southwest credit card, the airplane. So everything we use it for, we get points for our flights.
Yes, ma'am. Right. Yes, ma'am.
And we pay it off every month. We don't charge stuff on it. We have to make payments on every month. We pay the credit card off every month.
Yes, ma'am.
So now, 2 or 3 times a year, we get a free airplane ride. Of course, it's not free because, but this credit card is working for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not working for it.
Amen?
Amen. That's when you have wisdom in the things of God. Things need to work for us, not us work for them.
Amen?
Amen. Don't be like the graph. Don't go up here and then down here and then up here. Just do the easy, steady, gradually going up. Amen? That's how we get to the place where God wants us.
Yes, ma'am.
You can cheat yourself out of a life of faith if you're always looking for fireworks.
Amen.
You don't always have to have a tragedy to live by faith.
Amen.
When you're living from tragedy to tragedy, you're not living in faith. Things may be working out and going good, you know, turned out in your favor, but what did it take to get there? We shouldn't have to have a tragedy in our life to start operating our faith.
Amen.
I mean, we use our faith in tragedies, of course, and sometimes they do come, But we shouldn't be living from tragedy to tragedy to tragedy. We should get to the point where our faith is on an even kilter, just gradually going up. In times of tragedies and things happening in our life, we need to check on what we're saying. Are we saying what we have? Are we saying what we want? We should be moving ahead of the blessing, not behind it. You know, it's not up here for us to chase. And sometimes we find ourselves just chasing. It's just right there, and I'm almost to get it. No, we should be moving in the blessing, not behind it, trying to get to it all the time. Let's go to Mark 11:22. We'll start in 22 and go through 24. It says, and Jesus answering said unto him, now who's talking? Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. That kind of sounds like a pipe dream, don't it? That kind of sounds too good to be true. My motto is normally, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. But I think we can trust the Word of God. Amen. I think we can actually take God at His Word in Amen. These Scriptures. Yes, for verily, whosoever, how many whosoevers we got in here this morning? Amen. I'm a whosoever. Amen. Shall say, speaking something coming out of your mouth.
Yes, ma'am.
How do we get faith?
By hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God.
Yes,
and then once we hear it, we meditate on it, we think on it, and then what do we do?
Speak it out.
Whosoever that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now what mountain are we talking about here? Any obstacle that might be trying to come against you right now. It don't have to be a literal mountain.
Amen.
A mountain in my life might be a cold trying to attack my body. You know, because you don't want to sneeze out in public right now. Some things may be giant, some things may be small, but if it's an obstacle coming against you, you can say to it.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. If I start, thank you, Lord, I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm not going to start getting down on my knees and praying out of fear because I think something's coming on my body.
Yes.
There's a difference.
Yes.
Fear, praying out of fear, gets no results.
Amen.
Because the only way we can please God is how?
By faith.
Not fear.
Amen.
What happened to Job? The thing that he feared the most, the thing that was in his mind that he thought was a problem, that he went to the temple and made sacrifices for. He called up the prayer line. Hey, guys, my kids, I think my kids are doing something wrong. Y'all pray with me.
Amen.
The thing he feared the most is what came on him. Fear is not your friend.
Amen.
Fear is not your friend. We should teach our kids we don't want to teach them to be afraid. We want them to respect things.
Yes.
Like, if you live close to a road, you teach your kids to respect that road. Because something could happen to them if they ran out in it. But you don't teach them, oh, them cars are going to run over you. What are you doing? You're speaking fear into their life and causing them to build their faith according to what you're saying. You're building your child's faith according to fear. The difference is respect. Just explain to them, hey, don't go out in the road. Those cars are big. They can hurt you. Do not go in the road. But don't say, that car's going to kill you. Get away from that road. And you're setting in motion something with your words, whether you realize it or not. Say what you want. Amen. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he... That just kind of sounds too easy, don't it? Don't you think things with God should be easy? He made it easy for us. Why do we think it's not easy? Because we've been conditioned to live a certain way. Like I was conditioned to live in poverty. And we had a great saying, we may be poor, but we happy. We may be poor, but we clean. You know, what remarks like that really mean is I don't have the full revelation of what God has provided for me.
Amen.
Remarks like that shows where I am in my spiritual walk with God.
Yes,
amen.
Ma'am.
We've been conditioned to live certain ways by our teaching or our upbringing. Where we've come from in the past. I remember one time when we were at Rhema, Joy was, he was probably in first or second grade, and we was just going to Rhema, so all of this stuff, I was raised a Southern Baptist, and I had faith to be saved. And that was probably it. Everything else was hit and miss with God. But you're saved. So when we got to Rhema and Joy was in his class, one day he come home, it was getting close to Christmas, and it was very, very tight back then. I mean, the finances, Ricky worked at a drywall plant. I worked at Shoney's, and it was just barely get by, which is what we had faith for at that time. So Joy came home from church one day, and he was telling me what he wanted for Christmas, and it was some big electronic game. And I'm going to be up front with you. I'm not going to tell him we'll get it because I don't believe in that. If you can't afford it, don't promise it. I said, Joey, I don't think we're going to be able to do that. You know, we just don't have the money to do that. And he said, Mama, why are you agreeing with the devil? Now, he's probably 7 or 8. And I'm like, what? I'm agreeing with the devil? You know, it took me back for a minute, but once I thought about it, I thought, that's true. And guess what? We prayed for that, and I don't even remember who gave them some electronic gifts that year, but they got electronic. It wasn't us. evidently, because we didn't have the faith for it. But somebody else gave our kids electronic gifts that year.
Amen.
Remember that little Atari thing? All them. Yeah, and somebody gave them a BMX bike. Yeah, two of them. So evidently our kids had more faith than we did. They was praying and getting what they was believing for. And we struggling from paycheck to paycheck. You know, if we was wise back then, we would have said, hey, you kids, help us pray in this rent, these groceries. Yeah. Amen. Anything opposite the blessing does not belong to you.
Amen.
It doesn't. You know what? You actually have to take things that are opposite from the blessing. You know, we have to catch a cold. Well, how long do we run after it before we catch it? I think I'm catching that flu stuff that's going around. Well, quit chasing it.
Amen.
I think I'm getting that stomach virus that's going around. Quit chasing it.
Amen.
Quit speaking it. What, as faith people, what are our words?
Amen.
I'm the healed of the Lord.
Amen.
Doesn't it even say in there somewhere, no plague shall come near our dwelling?
Amen.
Ah, oh, that's just too good to be true, because we all get sick. We're just people. We're just people, and we're around other people. So what do you expect? I expect the blessing of God to work in my life the way God wants it to. Do you think Abraham lived around poor people?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Well, why didn't they all get blessed like he did? Because they wasn't faithful like he was.
Amen.
They didn't put themselves in a position to receive the blessing like he did.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen? The blessing of God makes rich, and it adds no sorrow to it. The blessing of God, that blessing, not God coming down here and laying his hand on you.
Amen.
Not the pastors laying hands on you up here at the altar.
Amen.
The blessing of God, it
Amen.
Makes rich. And it doesn't add any sorrow to it. Have you seen any of those shows about the millionaires that are overnight millionaires? They have a lot of sorrow after they get that money. Because number one, they say relatives they never heard of before show up.
Yeah.
Wanting something from them. And then they don't have wisdom how to use it. So they go out and make all these promises and do all these things, and then when they're out of money, they're very sorrowful.
Yes, ma'am.
That's the reason people without the wisdom of how to use money don't get it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Anything opposite the blessing does not belong to you. You have to take it. But in Matthew 6:31, the Bible says, take no thought saying. You know, I don't know how the devil does it, but he can put thoughts in your head.
Yes, ma'am.
He can put thoughts in your head, because God would never put a thought in there to kill yourself or to kill somebody else. He would never do that. So the only alternative is for that to be the devil. Because that's his lifestyle or whatever. Kill, steal, and destroy. So he can put thoughts in there, but he can't make you act on them.
Amen.
You actually have to yield to those thoughts. And the first thing that thought would come probably, you know, maybe once a week or something. But if you get to thinking on it or meditating on it, it will start coming more regular.
Yes, ma'am.
Like every 2 or 3 days. And then if you start talking about it, guess what happens next? You actually have that come to pass in your life.
Yes, ma'am.
Whatever you've been saying, whatever you've been meditating on, whatever you've been dwelling on will actually come into your life.
Yes, ma'am.
Once you start saying it. So is that the way faith works too?
Yes, ma'am.
So if I just change from doubt, fear, unbelief to faith in something, start thinking on that, dwelling on that, saying that, then what's going to happen? Whatever I'm saying, whatever I got faith in. You know, we have faith to be poor, or we have faith to be rich. We have faith to be sick, or we have faith to be healed. Whatever we were conditioned for growing up, whatever we've been conditioned for. You know, have you ever saw one of those shows or heard somebody talk about a cult? You know, how do they brainwash them? By telling them the same thing over and over and over again until they finally believe what they've been told. Because of what? Hearing? How does faith come? By hearing? So we should be trying to get brainwashed with the Word of God, shouldn't we? Instead of letting the news or our neighbors or whoever's speaking into your life, maybe your friend at work. Was it you this morning that was up here saying, you know, you get in a bad mood? Yeah, just by being around somebody, listening to what they're saying. Why? Because it gets into you.
Yes, ma'am.
It gets in you.
Yes, ma'am.
And then you start speaking it out. Then it starts coming to pass in your life.
Yes, ma'am.
And then we're mad at God.
Yes.
How could God allow that to happen to me? I go to church every Sunday. Why would he let this happen in my life? It wasn't him.
Amen.
Let's make it a point to change our thoughts to blessings instead of cursing. Amen. Don't watch the news. They can only tell you everything that's bad, everything that's going wrong in the world. Oh, hi, y'all can't take a vacation this summer. We've been locked up for 3 years, and now gas is too high for us to go anywhere. Does that sound like a blessing of God? No. It sounds like another scheme and plan of the devil to keep us under his rule. Poverty. Lack. That's what he trades in. Kleenex, please. That's what he trades in, and it's up to us not to buy into it. Because he's got all kind of people peddling it for him. People too. Hollywood. And we believe everything they say. How many of you been watching the Will Smith, hearing about the Will Smith thing? You know, the exact same day that took place, Putin made a speech that was very, very concerning to everybody in the world. How many news networks have you heard say anything about that speech? Not one. I haven't seen it on any major news, And if I didn't subscribe to this one Christian news station, I wouldn't have heard about it. It's a very concerning speech to American people. But we so wrapped up in what Hollywood's doing, we don't even know what's going on around us. So we don't know how to pray. We don't know what we should be saying because we don't even know what's going on. What does the Bible say? Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. We need to know what's happening around us, because the Christian people are the only one, are the only hope this world has. Amen. Amen. It's up to us to say some things and do some things and change some things.
Amen.
Amen. We've let Hollywood and the government run our lives for too long. So we're going to be speaking the blessings, right?
Yes.
Amen. You know, when you're conditioned to live a life of lack, it could be from your upbringing. It could be from just what you've been in the last 2 or 3 years. The word condition means to develop a reflex or a behavior pattern. A behavior or a pattern. Now, I know it's in Pawnee, it's baseball season for our grandkids, and so Connor had to get a new glove. He had bought a new glove. He had to have one. He's a lefty, so I guess he had to get one for his right hand. But when he got it, the coach is like, okay, now you got to condition this glove. You've got to get it. You've got to put it on your hand. You've got to work it. And they've got all this kind of oil or some kind of stuff to put on it to make it condition and getting it ready. What's he wanting him to do? He's wanting him to be ready when that ball comes at him so he can catch it. He's preparing him for what's coming up. Well, in our lives, what is preparing us for what's coming up? You know, have you ever seen a new glove? It's hard and stiff, and really you can't open it up as full as you want to because it's so stiff. So if you're up there like that, and it's only this open, it's going to hit, that ball is going to hit the end of that glove, and you're not... And everybody's going to be mad at you on your team. But if you've got it conditioned and you've been working it and you got it ready, when you stick it up there and you open it up, you catch that ball right away.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, he's conditioned that glove to catch something.
Yes, ma'am.
Poverty, or the way we were raised, conditions us to catch something, to receive something into our life that might not necessarily have been meant for us. But because we're conditioned to receive it, because that's what we grew up knowing or thinking or hearing or talking about. You know, when you're in something day after day after day after day, that's all you can think about. So it makes it so much easier for us to just accept it and live with it. Because we can be happy and be poor, right? Ain't nobody saying nothing, huh? We don't want a reflex or a behavior or a pattern of receiving what the devil's got for us. Amen. Jesus was cursed when he went to hell. But when he came up blessed. And what did he do? He turned around and gave the blessing to us. Amen. Galatians 3:14 says, "You were a Gentile, but now you are of the household of faith. You have a new name. You are a Christian." And there are rights and privileges with that name. Amen. You know, changing your name to Christian automatically puts you in line for the blessing.
Amen.
Just like putting Edwards on my name automatically put me in line to write a check on his checking account. Before we got married, I couldn't just go to the bank and write a check or get money out of the account because I didn't have access to it.
Yes, ma'am.
It wasn't mine. But once we got married, no holes barred.
Amen.
What's his is mine, right?
Amen.
That's the way it is when you become a Christian.
Amen.
What's God's is yours.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I could have sat at home every day and not gone to the bank or not wrote a check and said, "Man, I wish I had some money. I wish I had something, you know." But I didn't actually physically receive anything until I actually physically did something.
Amen.
Writing that check. I had access to it the whole time. It was mine. Just as much as it was his. But until I actually did something, I didn't receive any of it. You know, when you're a visitor in somebody's house and they invite you to come in and sit down, you just don't have access to everything in their house, do you?
No, ma'am.
I mean, I have seen people do that, but it don't usually end well. You know, if I go over to Clinton's and we're talking, and I'm sitting on his couch, and then all of a sudden I just get up and start go plundering through his bedroom or his bathroom or seeing what he's got in his refrigerator, he's going to be like, excuse me, what are you doing? I'm just a visitor at his house. I don't have access to that stuff. But his wife has access to everything because she's got his name. What is in the household of faith? The blessing. And that covers anything you need.
Amen.
And it's here for our use. It's here for our enjoyment. It's here for our pleasure. God wants us to be happy. You know, in the denomination I was raised in, being saved was the major thing that we learn. And I mean, how many times can you get saved? I mean, you can backslide and repent and get back in right standing, but there's only one initial salvation. So once we got out of that lane, in my mind, there was nothing else for us. And I even had the attitude that, because I'd heard it, you know, if you're doing stupid stuff, then God's just up there waiting with a big club to hit you in the head so that you will turn around and start living right again. That's not his intention for us. He's not up there waiting with a big club to hit anybody. He just sits back, lets us make our mistakes, watches us, and tries to get us to listen to the teaching at the church so that we don't have to go through this anymore. You know, I never, ever came to a preaching position in a church to jump on or be mean to somebody.
Amen.
I never come to church thinking, "Well, oh, sister so-and-so's here. What What does she need that I... Or there's old brother so-and-so, and he's kind of a booger. What can I teach that will get him? And I don't know of any preachers that ever have. Now, I've been accused of... You was stepping all over my toes today, or things like that. But me coming here, teaching the word, is usually what the Lord has put on my heart to teach to a congregation. Now, if it hits home more with one person than it does the whole congregation, that's not my intention. I'm not doing it to get at you.
Amen.
The Lord is actually doing it because you need to see what's in His Word.
Amen.
Because once you see it and you start walking in it and living it, then the devil has a problem with you. Not God. Amen?
Amen.
So when we preach, when your pastors get up here and preach, it's not because they're trying to straighten you out because of what you said or what you did. It's because the Holy Ghost. And if he steps on your toes, that's the Holy Ghost. Don't blame us.
Amen.
Amen. He's trying to help you.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is trying to help you. Amen. So if our name is Christian, then we have access to all the blessings. What is in the household of faith? It's the blessing. And it's here for my use, my enjoyment, and my pleasure. Do you sit in the living room saying, I'm hungry? Well, most men do. But you have access to the kitchen, right? Because it's usually right beside the living room, pretty close. But you can sit in there all day long and say, I'm hungry. I wish I had something to eat. And your wife could have just got back from the grocery store. Refrigerator stocked full. Cupboard stocked full. But what benefit is it going to do you to sit in the living room and say, I'm hungry? Well, if I hear it enough, I'll get up and go fix Ricky something. Just to keep from having to listen to it again and again. But what should he do? Get up, go to the kitchen. He said, believe for her to go get it. Yeah. He must have been in faith a lot of times because it worked on me. But us women, we have to get up and go actually fix ourselves something to eat, don't we? Because I don't care how many times we say it, they're going to be sitting there right beside you saying, yeah, I'm hungry too. We don't just sit there and say, I'm hungry. We get up and we go get us something to eat. We don't just sit there and say, I'm sick. I'm sick. I'm sick. We say, Lord, thank you. You have provided healing for my body, and I thank you right now. I am being healed by the power of your word.
Amen.
I know it's easy to have people come over, and people are... Yeah, choose my words. I'm going to say ignorant. I don't mean stupid. They are ignorant. That means unknowing. But some people are ignorant of what they're doing when they come and ask you, well, how are you doing? And we say, we're healed. Oh, I know that. I know what the word says, but really, how do you feel? Well, feelings has nothing to do with what the word of God says. Feelings don't have nothing to do with it. I'm healed. Yes, I know what you're believing for, and I will pray with you and believe with you, but really, what's going on? And if you hear it two or three times, pretty soon you're going to say, well, you know, I do have this pain that hasn't subsided. And, you know, then they're going to throw in, well, you know, my aunt had that. She died of cancer. What is that doing? That's building up that fear in you. That's replacing the word of God that you were just speaking with fear in your life. And then what happens after they leave? We get on the phone, we call the prayer line. I've got cancer. I'm dying. I need prayer right now. They don't intend to do that. They're just ignorant. They don't know the power of their words. They don't know what they're doing or saying when they do or say things like that. So we have to be stronger in our faith than they are in their fear.
Yes.
Amen? Yes. The Bible says, do not overcome evil. No. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So you can be overcome with evil. You can. So realize that's what's coming against you when somebody is talking that to you or saying that to you or bringing you all of that negative information, because they going to Google it for you. And they going to tell you what those symptoms mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Not long ago in church, come up for prayer and said, you know, I've got these symptoms. And I Googled it, and this is what it says I have. And I'm like, okay. I guess we can do that now, huh? Diagnose ourselves? Well, if I'm going to do any diagnosing, I'm going to use the Word of God instead of Google. Okay? Amen. When you need finances, you don't sit around and beg. You get up and you go get them. If you need a job, get a job. Amen? The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So if somebody's wanting to borrow money from you all the time so they'll have something to eat but they don't want to work, don't contribute to their ignorance. Teach them what the Word of God says. Amen?
Amen.
Don't contribute to what they're doing, because all you are doing is enabling them to continue to live in whatever state they're in, but it's definitely not faith because they haven't attached faith to getting a job.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So don't help them stay in the state they're in.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. When you need finances, you don't just sit around and beg or depend on people to give them to you. With your mouth, you will have to be aggressive and go after what belongs to you. Do you want all that's yours?
Yes.
Do you know what's all is yours?
Yes.
Because if you don't know what's yours, you won't go after it.
Amen.
I remember the story of the lady. She was a housekeeper for a very, very rich man. And this is a true story. When he got to the end of his life, he gave her this piece of paper. He said, I wanted to do something really special for you. I wanted to give you this. So he gave her this certificate-looking thing. So she took it to her house, and she put it in a frame, and she put it on her wall. He ended up dying. And so she didn't have to work for him anymore, so she was home. She got very sick. Somebody come by to check on her. And she was living in such poverty. She didn't have food. She didn't have nothing in her house. And the person was talking to her, and they got to looking at her pictures and stuff on the wall, and they come across the one he had given her, and they said, he said, "What is this?" And she said, "Oh, my boss was so good to me my whole life, and when it got to the end of his life, he gave me that." So they took it down and started looking at it. And it was actually a will that left her with all of his stuff. She was living in a little house in poverty. She couldn't read, though. So she didn't know it was a will. She didn't know what she had. If we don't know what's ours, we won't work for it. We won't believe for it. But if we know that God has promised it to us, he's established in his word that it is ours, we will go for it. Amen. Amen. Do you want what's yours? Absolutely. We want the wisdom of God. So with our mouths, we'll go for it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Genesis 18. Verses 18 and 19 says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken to him." In the New Living Translation, it says, "For Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised." Why did God do it for him? Because he did what was right and what was just. And God knew he could trust Abraham. He knew he could trust him. That's the reason he said, keep your family, not only himself and his wife, but his kids. We got to teach our kids how to live right and do right. Amen?
Amen?
So that the blessings of Abraham will come upon them just as much as they do us. Galatians 3:9 says, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Are you of faith? We are of faith. When we became Christians, we become of the faith.
Amen.
So if when we're of faith, then we are blessed. But once we know what we got, we go after it a little more aggressively. We just don't sit home and on the couch and say, I'm hungry. We get up and go to the kitchen. And we fix whatever we want. Whether we want a 10-course meal or a sandwich, it's up to you. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Just in case you don't know what's yours. This is talking about the blessing. I'm going to start in verse 1, Deuteronomy 28, and I'm going to be reading in the New Living Translation. "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully," Everybody say carefully.
Carefully.
Keep all his commands that I am giving to you today. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world.
Amen.
You will experience all the blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Is Bullhead blessed because of you?
Yes.
Your children and your crops will be blessed.
Amen.
Your garden produces three times more than anybody else's.
Amen.
The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed.
Amen.
Your fruit baskets and bread boards will be blessed.
Amen.
Whenever you go, wherever you go, and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. Even people that be ugly to you, you don't even have to fight back.
Amen.
They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do. Whew. Have you ever heard of a money-back guarantee? I think we can trust God if he guarantees something.
Amen.
Now, we had a guarantee. We had a microwave over our stove, a big one. And right up top on the middle of it, it said 10-year guarantee. And so it went out here about two or three weeks ago. And we've only had it about 3 years, so we call people we got it from. And so he's looking it up and everything, and he said, oh, yeah, I see that here. And he said, oh, well, that's just for the metal frame that the microwave is in. I was like, are you kidding me? Who cares about the stupid metal frame? I need the microwave to work. God ain't going to guarantee something like that. It's not going to be one of those guarantees you can't depend on. When he guarantees it, he guarantees all of it, not just our frame. Amen. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do, and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do.
Amen.
Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in heavens and will bless all the work you do.
Amen.
Whatever you put your hand to is going to prosper.
Amen.
You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never at the bottom.
Amen.
You must not turn away from any of the commands I give you, nor follow after other gods. That almost sounds too good to be true, don't it?
Amen.
But we can trust God. We can trust God. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard.
Yeah.
You've never seen before, or you've never heard of what he can do for you. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him.
Amen.
That's us.
Amen.
That's us.
Amen.
We hadn't heard or seen, or it hadn't even entered into our heart, the things which God has prepared for us.
Amen.
That love him. We limit things by not being where we're supposed to be. We limit things by not being in the position we're supposed to be in. But if we go after God with all our heart, go after God with everything in us, Live according to his statutes. Walk in faith. Live in faith. Speak the word. We can have and will have everything he promised us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. How many of you want to live the life of Abraham?
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to live in a tent. But that was the best they had in that day. So what's the best we have in this day? Start thinking on those things. Start planning toward them. Start leaning toward them. Reminiscing. You know what we started doing? We just started going looking at houses bigger than the ones we lived in.
Amen.
Just to expand our vision.
Because
where there is no vision, people perish.
Amen.
If you can't see it, you won't ever have it.
Amen.
If you can't see it, you won't ever have it. But we are blessed with the same blessing. As faithful Abraham. Faithful Sally has her blessing.
Amen.
Faithful Chelsea has her blessing. Amen. God is good. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to live in health. He wants all the things that we think we can't have. He wants that for us. But once we start changing our heart, changing our words, changing our thinking, we can achieve and live in what he's got for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Ricky. Or Chelsea.
Glory to God. Amen. How many feels like you just feasted on the word this morning? We just had a feast on the word of God. It was so good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's one thing that qualifies you for the blessing, and that is Jesus. He took your place. He shed his blood for you. And what we do is accept him